Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech, driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your hosts, Alexis Fink and Emily Hudson.
Hi, this is Emily Hudson.
And this is Alexis Fink.
And today we're talking with Dr. Gaurav Day, the VP of Data Science at DataRobot. Welcome.
Hi, everyone.
So Gaurav, tell us a little bit about DataRobot and how it was started.
Sure. DataRobot is an automated machine learning platform. It's a category that we started, and now there are other tools in that category. But what we try to do is we enable business analysts, software developers, and data scientists alike to build predictive models and machine learning models without writing a single line of code, and also being able to deploy, manage, and monitor all of those models without any complicated process in an enterprise environment. It was started by Jeremy Aiken and Tom DeGodoy. They were both data scientists in the insurance space, and a lot of their work that they were doing on the during their day job, as well as the time they were participating in this data science competition called Kaggle, where they were performing really well, they saw that there is a need for transforming the way of doing things in data science and predictive modeling. And the main thing that they observed that they could automate a large number of those tasks really easily. And by doing that, they can make anyone who is building these models much more productive, get to their value much more quickly, and get the skill of building models to a much larger group of people who may not have a more academic orientation towards data science. They started in Boston in 2012, and now we are about 500-plus people company globally, pretty much in all continents with many, many hundreds of customers.
So when people talk about democratizing AI and really bringing the power of artificial intelligence far beyond those advanced statisticians and programmers who can work their way through the advanced code and data cleaning to get there, that's really the core of what your project does.
That's exactly it. Democratization is one of our core purposes. We are not necessarily believing that, you know, data scientists or developers or machine learning engineers will not be able to build machine learning models. They absolutely will be able to, but they will usually write code, and that will either take a long time or that will require the right kind of skill set. So we are trying to democratize the skill set to that larger group of people, because from a business perspective, that is untapped resources that they can use in this world of AI where we need to make billions and trillions of AI systems all over the organization.
So in a way, this is like the transition from old school punch cards into Windows and the Macintosh that we saw back in the 80s, that now we're able to do this for AI, really make it available to folks so that they can solve their business problems without having to have that deep specialization. That's marvelous. Given that, I would love to hear you talk through some specific use cases. How is this finding its way into real organizations?
First of all, we are a horizontal tool. So we are a platform that is being used almost every industry that you can think of. So there is insurance, banking. That's where we did a lot of our early work. But now we are in healthcare, retail, manufacturing, media, you name it. One of the ways of thinking about us is we mainly engage with an enterprise in kind of four stage of maturity. Most enterprises that are new to AI are typically starting with a single business problem that they are trying to solve. They have a very specific thing in mind, like maybe they are trying to detect fraud better if they are a credit card company, if they are a lending company or fintech, that maybe they are trying to just predict which customers have a higher risk of default. So very specific kind of business problem that they are trying to solve. In those cases, oftentimes with the smaller organizations or organizations that are early stage will not have the required skill set. They have the business analyst to wrangle the data, but not necessarily build the model. For them, we are solving that specific problem for them. But usually what happens once they see that value in one or two use cases, they usually want to go a little bit up and want to build a data science team that may be solving some of these problems. there, our focus becomes how we can make that data science team more productive. Because if they are writing handwritten codes to do many of the solutions themselves, it will take them a long time. So if they are ready to automate a large part of their workflow and they are embracing the idea of automation, we can make them very, very productive by shortening their entire workflow to a much more shorter kind of a graphical user interface, and they can go on to the next project and clear our backlog much faster. Now, when that happens in a few use cases, that's great, but you will eventually reach a ceiling because you only can hire that many data scientists. Pretty much every article, every analyst report talks about how difficult it is to hire data scientists, even more difficult to retain them, and not every data scientist are coming with the same skill set and same kind of depth of knowledge. So at some point, organizations start thinking about democratization and kind of bringing in the larger business analyst community to get working. And finally, when they see that as a successful, and then the final stage of maturity comes, when we are thinking about a really large scale organizational transformation, where someone as an executive level sees the possibility of doing AI in their across the organization, and they see it that it's going to happen with conjunction of democratization of business analysts and empowering their automation first data scientists, and get that really multiplicative factor across the board, across the organization, all use cases across the board. Now, for an example, I can give an example of a really small Midwest-based acute care organization called Symphony Acute Care, where there was no data science team, and they were trying to solve the readmission problem of their patients, like patients coming back to the hospital after they are discharged. Data robot, they build that model within a few weeks, and it's deployed, and physicians are using it. That's a great story about solution. Next stage for a data science productivity, we work with a retail bank that is based out of Southeast Asia, where a pretty big team of data scientists were taking about 6 months to build one of the retail banking churn model that is basically predicting which customers will stay with the bank and will leave. And we kind of reduce that time from 6 months to 1 month, so they can be much, much faster, many, many models in production. The third one, the democratization, we are working with one of the top three banks globally, where an entire army of business analysts are handling predictive modeling problem with their robot with some very little to no aid from us. And essentially, the ROI for many of these use cases are ranging from 9 digits in US dollar. And think about the impact that they're bringing through the democratization value. And the final one, which doesn't happen that often, but when it happens, it's really awesome, is where a really large healthcare organization are using data robot to basically take each organization, sub-organization or sub-team, and transforming their entire business process by injecting machine learning and AI in the decision-making and completely transforming their business. And that's something as a much massive scale and across the organization.
Thank you. These are some amazing use cases. I had a question going back to the beginning of what you said, and you mentioned the platform on which they're doing this. Could you give us a little bit more details of that hardware foundation that's enabling all these use cases?
Absolutely. So DataRobot and Intel are strong partners in this side, because for automated machine learning and the scale that we are actually doing all of these things, it's pretty hardcore computation, and we won't be able to get the value out of DataRobot if we don't have a solid computational architecture underneath. So we are using Xeon for Intel for our underlying architecture, which makes it very easy for us because we are a software company. We can completely rely on the fast computing power of Intel, and that essentially is what ensuring our customer to be successful.
And, you know, you made a really interesting point. If you can take 6 months of work and compress it down to 1 month, that's very much like being able to increase the size of your data science team in terms of the capacity and the work that they can create.
Absolutely, yeah. So capacity building can be both in terms of just pure number, like how many data scientists you need to hire next quarter versus what kind of skills that you need to hire them for. You can probably hire data scientists that are not super skilled a bit more easy way than more experienced data scientists. But with a platform like us, you bring much more standardization. So you can focus your hiring effort in a more targeted manner instead of just purely chasing some really unrealistic headcount goal for data science teams.
I would also think for the data scientists themselves, automation of some of the more routine tasks would be beneficial since they get to work on the fun stuff.
It is indeed. No one in the data science community who is trained in statistics, so my training is in statistics, no one like my background really enjoys writing tedious amount of lines and lines of codes. So if something can automate that, we can do what we do better, which is understanding of data, telling the story with the data, and doing the iteration and repetition to improve that analysis.
You know, having done probably thousands of hours of data cleaning myself, I'm really curious about how this tool can help data scientists speed through some of those really grueling and frankly not very interesting tasks that are currently associated with this work so that we can get to, as you say, the more interesting, more compelling, more influential pieces. How does that work? It feels like a pipe dream.
I share your pain because I had to go through that, and every data scientist probably had their rite of passage for that. The way we think about the entire end-to-end lifecycle, it starts honestly from data management, where you curate and store your data, then your data preparation, then your modeling, then your deployment piece, and then finally model management, and finally some sort of way of consuming all of that output in some front-end application. Now, the data preparation and modeling, we see it as one single thing. There are different types of data preparation. Some of those data preparation tasks require a bit more creativity and also more data engineering skills than data science skills. Generally, the type of data preparation data scientists tend to do can be automated and pretty standardized, like missing value imputation or converting text into numeric values or encoding the categorical variables in some way that machine learning models can absorb and things like that. And also, you need to know what are the right data pre-processing and cleaning steps to combine with the right kind of model. Within Data Robot, we see it as part of the workflow. So if we want to automate a machine learning model building, we have to make it a part of the same workflow. We call it blueprint, where that pre-processing of the data is combined with the modeling. Now, don't get me wrong that there are data preparation steps that Data Robot or any other automated platform will not be able to do. For example, really thinking through which columns and how to include these columns or how to transform certain columns in a way that makes sense from a business perspective would require some creativity, at least at this moment. But we are also making really great progress on that side. I'm not going to go into too much details about what's coming up, but I'm very excited about all the different stuff that we are doing both in the data prep and data management side as well.
Well, if listeners want to know where to go to get more information about Data Robot, what you have available, can you send them to a good place?
Absolutely. So we have our company website, www.datarobot.com. That's DataRobot.com. And you can also Google search with our company name, Data Robot, or automated machine learning. In the company website, you will find a lot of different information, including a few white papers and use cases and different industry landing pages as well. We are also hiring pretty actively. So if you are looking for role in a powerful growing company and a category maker company, please look at our open positions and consider applying.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Gaurav. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Really interested in all the opportunities that Data Robot provides to various organizations. This has been Emily Hudson.
And Alexis Fink.
And this is Intel on AI.